The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So what you been up to?
I have been reliving a childhood favorite video game of mine. And by reliving, of course, it's Final Fantasy VII released a remake 4 years ago, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and then a sequel to it this last week ago, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And VII's my favorite game of all time. I love it. Really, really fun original game. And so I've been playing pretty much nonstop since last Wednesday night when it dropped at 11 o'clock. I'm at 65 hours through 7 days. So clocking in pretty much work and video games and a little bit of sleep. So that's been what I've been up to.
You've been gaming like a loon.
I've been gaming like a loon. You ever gamed like a loon?
I definitely have gamed like a loon. And surprisingly, I mean, listen, we're in the back half of our 30s now. So like our gaming like a loon days are definitely in the rearview mirror. But last spring, my wife was sick and I downloaded Battlefleet Gothic Armada 2, which is a real-time strategy port of a beloved tabletop war game that I have recently been 3D printing the shit out of. I got a 3D printer last week. It's been amazing. Nice. Yeah. All I've been doing, like you're gaming, I'm 3D printing. It is that makes it seem like it's an active process. It's not. It just sits in there.
Well, but you're figuring it out,
really,
right?
I really watch it. But it's your first 3D printer. Putting the little things on there and figuring it out. Anyway, I downloaded that game and it had been out for like 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I played it for, you know, whatever, 10 or 15 minutes. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm just going to, I'm invested in this. I'm stuck in on this. I think I played it approximately 80 hours over like a 10-day span. And that was not every day because I was not working from home full time like you. So, working from home a couple of times. And then I had, you know, my wife was sick. So like the weekends, it was like, all right, we're taking the dog out for a walk in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll tire her out. Then we're going to play 15 hours or 16 hours of this. And we're going to go to bed. We're going to wake up and we're going to do it again. It was awesome.
Well, I need to have you 3D print me a Super Bowl ring.
Welcome in to It's Always Sunny in Cheese Kingdom. I'm Austin. Find me on Twitter /X at Real Bird Lawyer, on Blue Sky at Bird Law Expert. Here with me as always, after a week break, which he spent entirely playing Final Fantasy, my co-host Taylor at Taylor _Wit on Twitter /X, on Blue Sky at Taylor M. Wit. What is going on, buddy?
Yeah, he said a week break, but of course, since our last show was 2 weeks ago, it feels like a long time since you and I have got behind the old microphones and talked about the Chiefs. So, it's good to be back.
It's good to be back. And it is good to be missed. While we were gone, our guy, Top Trevor on Twitter, asked for the episode. He said, is there going to be a pod this week? And, you know, we put out a tweet, but not everybody sees it, especially nowadays. I literally never see your exes anymore.
Dude,
even
crazy.
Though it is crazy. I literally have to search, like, you know, once every couple of days, I could check your timeline. I'm like,
Me too.
What content I've been missing over
you
here?
You and I will be like, hey, I had that tweet pop off. And you'll be like, which one? And then we have to like point each other to, Elon's trying to break us up, man.
He's trying to break us up, but he'll never keep us apart. Our guy, Top Trevor, asked for the episode, and it's good to be missed. You know, when we don't put out an episode every Wednesday or Thursday, it's great to have people come and ask us where we are. We were just taking a week off, but our guy, Top Trevor, asked for a shout out to the London listeners. He said he knows a bunch of people in London that are listening to the show. So shout out to you guys across the pond. We love you. Thanks for listening. And we have a great episode for you guys today. After a week off, we are both refreshed. We are ready to go. We have news, 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 and there is a lot of it because We didn't do it last week. We've got what is happening. We've got a free agency preview. We're going to sneak a mailbag question in there. We're going to do the free agency preview draft style like we've done every year. And next week, schedule permitting, we're going to have Dan Harms come on to talk Super Bowl, look ahead to the draft. We'll start getting into draft mode here pretty soon. I know other podcasters are already there, but you know, I'd like to take some time to sort of simmer in Super Bowl juices, the sweet nectar of the Super Bowl end zone. I know you love that phrase so much. So, you know, are you ready to do it?
Let's hit it.
In transaction news, going to the wire, right before we stepped on to record the podcast, Jeremy Fowler had it first. Chiefs and linebacker Drew Tranquil expected to reach an agreement on a new contract. It is official. Adam Schefter, 3 years, $19 million with $13 million guaranteed. Drew Tranquil is back in the fold. Of course, free agency legal tampering starts on Monday. We're recording this on Thursday. And we won't have to worry about where Drew Tranquil is going because he is coming right back to Kansas City.
Huge news, especially with the expected departure of Willie Gay in free agency. Tranquil was an awesome get for this organization. He was a model teammate. He, you know, played his ass off every time he was out there. I felt like he stood out. Just a really, really huge addition for the linebacker core. And so now between Bolton and Tranquil and Chanel, you know, obviously that's as good of a core as you can ask for. And he's the man. I'm really excited about that.
This may come up when we're drafting later for our free agents, but I'm a sucker for taking a downtrodden division rival,
man,
and lifting him up to the absolute summit of professional football, hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. It was so awesome for Drew Tranquil, former Charger, to experience what it's like to play in the playoffs for a championship football team and win a Super Bowl. And like every video that he put out, every tweet, every Instagram post was just him like vibing. And like, you know, he literally put out a video of him just like chomping on a cigar, like soaking it in for like a minute and a half. He just put out a video of him just like standing around, like bathing in the glory of being a Super Bowl champion. It's fun as hell. I love it. And he was a great player for the Chiefs. I mean, it was a really good, you know, Brett Veach special 1 year contract, and he outperformed that deal. But really, 3 years, $19 million with $13 million guaranteed. I mean, you know, that's a little bit over $6 million a year. And for a linebacker of his caliber who had the success that he had, and especially when he came in, filled in for Willie Gay and Nick Bolton both, when those two kind of went through some injuries in the middle of the season, really did a great job with that. And I know Spags, I'm sure, loves how smart he is and how versatile he is. So it's great to have a guy like that back in the fold.
Win for both sides, for sure, because, you know, a linebacker in the NFL is kind of it's tough to get another job. It's just it's hard. And at the same time, with the Chiefs, you know they've got a guy that can perform. So, I mean, like you said, I feel like that number is very fair. It's not an overpay. It's not really an underpay. It's just kind of about what I would expect for a guy like Tranquil. So that's good for both sides. It does kind of make me think about my feelings towards the Chargers every time I think about like the fact that Tranquil was a longtime Charger. I mean, you know, played over there. And then when he came over here, I didn't once think of him as like, oh, like that guy was a Charger. Like, I just don't really, I don't really care about them. And like, I want to beat them. And it's funny when Chargers Charger and all that. They're like a funny joke. But like, boy, the level of hate that I have for the Raiders and the Broncos, I'm not sure I could watch a guy play for the Raiders or the Broncos for like 4 years or whatever, and then come over and be a Chief and like, make me feel that good about it. Like, it's just, I don't know. It just kind of reminds me that the Chargers are so poverty in everything they do, which includes not even be able to upset us. Like, they're just, they're just nothing.
Sure. Well, you know, they got the fighting Harbaughs over there now. So maybe they'll be anti a little bit. Speaking of transactions that we were not around to report on last week, the Chiefs have placed the franchise tag on Lajarius Sneed. He will count for $19.8 million against the cap. And of course, they have given him permission to seek a trade. I guess let's backtrack a little bit. I know obviously other people have been covering this as it came out, but you know, we were enjoying our time off and our Final Fantasies and our 3D printers last week. So kind of your initial reaction to hearing that they had both tagged him and placed him on the trade block.
I think It's not at all surprising, first of all. I know that they like him a lot, as you would expect. He was a hell of a football player this year. He's been a hell of a football player since they drafted him. But at the same time, the way the economy works in the NFL and just his value is at an all-time high right now. Everybody wants L'Jarius Sneed because he just showed on the biggest stage, that he was a lockdown cornerback. And yes, he didn't get an all-pro. He didn't even get a Pro Bowl nod this year. So it was kind of a underdog story for him, kind of a not really appreciated, and then just went out and balled out. And I do think that given their tag options this year, both Jones and Sneed were going to be free agents. They were really the two that you had to decide between which one you were going to tag. And if they had tagged Jones, that would have made me feel a lot, I guess, better about their understanding that they were going to come to a long-term deal with Sneed. But at the same time, I would have felt much worse about the prospects with Chris, which we'll talk about. But the fact that they tagged Sneed, to me, that more just said that they felt better about extending Chris Jones, which is fine. And that's the way it was supposed to be. So, the trade part of it is also part of the economy there, where yeah, if you're going to tag him, it's better for the player to keep his options open for a long-term deal, whether it's with your team or another. So it is kind
Sure.
of throwing him a bone and saying hey, I know you don't, we franchise tag you, with which a lot of players will take as a slap in the face, as we're not going to give you anything. You have to play for us. It's kind of a forced contract. But at the same time, they're saying, look, we'll do right by you. If we can't come to a long-term deal, we want to make sure that you're going to go get paid and all that. So I think it represents a good relationship between the player and the team.
I agree with that, and certainly there's been nothing to indicate that there's any animosity between the player and the team so far. Everything that's come out has been Sneed understands where the team is coming from. It just in terms of the economics of it, obviously to place Sneed on the tag, a little under $20 million. To place Chris on the tag would have been $32 million, even with the cap going up to a record $250 million, which is also news that we missed last week. Thanks a lot, Taylor. We appreciate you. It makes it certainly is cheaper to retain them. I think by tagging Sneed, they obviously still, even with that number on the books going into free agency, have enough money to play around with the cap being what it is, and still possible we could see a few more restructures before Monday, or even before the league year officially starts on Wednesday, because obviously Monday is just the legal tampering period. They can announce the deals, but they don't have to be cap compliant until the league year starts on Wednesday. So I think they're keeping their options open. And, he's a great player. I think by placing the tag on Sneed, you've sort of guaranteed that you're at least going to have one of Chris or Sneed back.
I agree with
You
that.
can't rescind the tag and place it on another player. So they chose Sneed. If they're not able to get a deal done with Chris, and we'll talk about that next, at least they have Sneed back in the room. They can build back to front. They've got the two lockdown cornerbacks, and they've got the great secondary that they rolled out last year, and it would hurt like hell to lose Chris, obviously. But the Chiefs have had two just incredible. I mean, Brett Veach is like on a 5-year heater with defensive
Yeah,
backs. I mean,
sure.
whether it's in the draft or in trades, Charvarius Ward was an undrafted free agent that he traded for, who then he let walk, and he's an all-pro, and yet the Chiefs somehow got better, after letting Charvarius Ward walk. I mean, you have to consider that too. And, if they're able to get compensation, the thing about tagging Sneed is, if you tag Chris, maybe you could tag and trade Chris, but carrying that 32 million cap hit through the start of free agency, and we know Chris likes to drag
Bend
things
it
out,
further. Yeah.
potentially into the summer or even in training camp, you're not going to be able to, if you're not able to get a deal done there, that's a long time to have that on your radar. So there are seven teams reportedly interested in trading for L'Jarius Sneed, and it's an interesting list. The
Sure.
Vikings, the Colts, the Titans, the Patriots, the Lions, the Falcons, and the Jags. Now, those last three teams, I get, especially the Lions and the Falcons. I get it. Like, those are teams that certainly need defensive backs, and they're sort of, well, maybe not the Falcons, but the Lions certainly are. Like, that makes total sense to me. Like,
Yeah,
this is a
agreed.
team with a bad secondary, that is in their Super Bowl window. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. Makes sense to go get an elite player like that. These other teams are kind of more rebuilding type teams. But if you're the Chiefs, that's kind of what you want because that means a higher draft pick in return, potentially.
Well, and also, you don't really want to send, especially to an AFC contender, you really don't want to send a guy like L'Jarius
Sure.
Sneed
No, of
to
course
a
not.
team that might be the piece that they were looking
Right.
for. You know, I mean, that's so certainly, you know, three of those non-contenders, the Colts, Titans, and Patriots are, you know, they're the AFC teams, but I don't really think the Chiefs are worried that any of those teams, I know they're not, are an immediate threat if they get L'Jarius Sneed. And you know, the Jags are interesting. The Jags are a team that, you know, has the Trevor Lawrence pick. They've run into the Chiefs in the playoffs before, and they're kind of they fell on their face a little bit last year, but you could kind of squint and see a scenario where the Jags could get feisty again. I know they were a trendy pick last year to be really feisty this the last year. So I do think that the Jags are maybe the one team in that list that I would be the most disappointed if Sneed goes to and really excels, because that's an AFC, you know, rival.
Sure.
But other than that, I would be perfectly happy for the Chiefs if Sneed landed any of these teams, because he's just going to go and get paid and wallow away in some shitty NFC team that isn't going to do much for a long time, or an AFC team either way. So yeah, I do think the list of teams is interesting for Sneed, and I think that if the Chiefs get a deal done, then you, as you said, you want a team that has a little bit of higher draft capital on their picks, because you can obviously turn that into a better player. So should be interesting to see if they do work a deal out. You know, you mentioned earlier that tagging Sneed kind of it does guarantee to me that one of those guys is coming back, because if they can't work out a deal with Chris, I think they extend Sneed. I think it's not just a
Sure,
tag. I don't think it, I think one of Jones or Sneed is getting an extension with the Chiefs, and it's either going to be Chris Jones if they have their pick, you know,
it
one
seems
way or
like
the other.
Chris is obviously their priority to
Chris is
you.
their priority. He seems amiable to the whole ordeal, but if it blows up, and if they can't get a long-term deal done with Chris, and if he walks, and I mean, obviously he's a free agent. You know, this is a, if they don't get a deal done, he is not on the books as a Chief right now. So I do think that frees up a lot of their, you know, their planned money, which they have a big war chest
Sure,
planned
they've
out for
got a
Chris
ton.
Jones extension right now. So I mean, they could throw that money at anybody, including L'Jarius Sneed, which I think they would do.
Jalen Johnson just re-signed with the Bears, and he was projected by a lot of outlets ahead of L'Jarius Sneed in this cornerback class, but you know, kind of 1A, 1B, a good player. I
Yeah,
think
really good
L'Jarius
player.
Sneed is better, but you know, he signed with the Bears for 4 years, $76 million. So that's about $19 million a season. And
Exactly.
that's a shade under L'Jarius Sneed's franchise tag number. And the franchise tag number, obviously, it goes up every year because it's the average of the top five contracts at the position. The contracts in the NFL are always going up. They don't go down, you know, as salary cap goes up. So, you know, even if L'Jarius Sneed played, and you know, if you tag a guy 2 consecutive years, his cap number goes up. So, you know, I think if L'Jarius Sneed would take 476, which is what Jalen Johnson got, I would be pretty pleased with the Chiefs giving him that deal. You know, he's going to be 27 this year. So that takes you through his age 31 season, obviously with guarantees. You know, there's that last year of a 4 year deal is rarely going to be real money. You're probably going to have that more front loaded with the guaranteed money spread over the first 2 or 3 seasons. But one other thing about these teams that are interested that we should probably mention and point out. There's probably a reason why there aren't any AFC contenders on this list. Like they just kind of probably took themselves out of the running, right? Like, you know, the Bills don't have any money.
No, they don't.
Well, you know, that's I guess another point is none of the other AFC contenders can afford him. Like they just don't,
Yeah,
they don't have the
they're
money
not
to
shopping
pay
for anybody.
him. They're not shopping for anybody. I guess like the Texans, maybe I would have been surprised maybe to not see the Texans on this list because they have money and they made the playoffs last year. But other
Right.
than the Chiefs and the Texans, there is not a single team in the AFC last year that made the playoffs and has money. And, you know, even if those teams existed, the Chiefs probably wouldn't send Sneed there, and the teams probably know that. So there probably is a little bit of a self-selection there. They're just not even picking up the phone because they know Brett's going to laugh in their face. But let's talk about Chris Jones. And I want you to stop me if you've heard this one before.
Oh.
The sides are having productive conversations.
Ooh.
They agree that Chris Jones should be paid top of the market and be a Chief for life. But there is an impending deadline in 4 days, Monday, and the sides have not reached a deal. And Chris Jones is, sending out cryptic tweets. And Mike Garafolo is saying that if he becomes a free agent, the Raiders would be strongly interested. And it's a mess. Here we are.
Yeah. Here we are. Same new verse,
Again,
same as the
it's
old
Groundhog
one.
Day.
I mean, yeah. It's I know that the last contract situation with Chris, the most previous one, we put a lot of blame, and I think rightfully so, on the Katz brothers because they were new representation for Chris. Clearly, there was some messaging that was going out, from them, around them, that people it didn't really vibe with people. I think they bungled his whole deal, but at the end of the day, there is a bottom line, a through line between all of these issues with Chris over the years, and that it's Chris that,
Sure.
he this is now the, I guess, third. I'm losing track. I mean, he had the one in 2019 holdout going into the 2020
And
season
he
after the
signed
Super
two
Bowl.
extensions, and this would be his third extension, so.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he's had plenty of time to play the waiting game with the Chiefs, to do the, that this whole song and dance. And I just kind of wonder if at some point, as good as he is and as important as he is to the locker room, and I mean, he's the best player on the defense, I still just wonder how much patience do the Chiefs have for this type of stuff. And maybe it's a lot. Maybe it doesn't really bother them that he's stringing this out. They understand where he's coming from, blah, blah, blah. We're not inside these, negotiations. We don't really know how contentious or not contentious the whole process is. But from an outside perspective, I know I'm sure sick of the Chris Jones countdown. I mean, if we looked at tweets that said today would be a good day to extend Chris Jones, they would stretch back, 5 years,
Yeah.
and it would be periodically
Those
every couple
tweets, if we
years for
printed them
five
all out,
years.
they'd reach the moon and back. So,
They would. They would. So I'm over it. I mean, I guess I'm not over it, because I still really, really want the Chiefs to extend
Yeah.
Chris Jones. I'm still in the same spot that I've been in
Today
with
would be a good
him.
day for it. Let's do it.
Today would be a great day. Tomorrow would be a great day. Every day between now and until they get him extended would be a great day to extend Chris Jones. Yeah.
Let's talk about more positive news. We'll end this on a high note, a little transaction sandwich here with the problematic free agents in the middle, sandwich between Drew and Steve Spagnuolo returning on a new contract with the Chiefs to be the defensive coordinator. I've seen some reports speculating that he's being paid as much as $5 million a season, that he has become the highest paid assistant coach or coordinator in the NFL. I mean, what can you say about that except that it's richly deserved? And I sure am glad that he was such a bad head coach in St. Louis that no one has ever even thought to hire him as a head coach again,
God, no
because
joke.
I mean, it is crazy. We've obviously been talking about this, but no pure assistant coach coordinator has gone to the Hall of Fame as a coordinator. There have been obviously some coaches that have made their bones as coordinators, but then gone on to have some success and some championship success for the most part as head coaches. I mean, obviously, Steve's head coaching resume is not going to get him into the Hall of Fame, but it would be cool and it would be completely justified and totally deserved if he was the first coordinator to make it into the Hall of Fame purely as a coordinator, because the man is a legend. Literally, the two best Super Bowl teams to not win the Super Bowl all time both lost to Steve Spagnuolo. Like,
Yeah,
it is what it is. The guy's the GOAT.
and Spags we trust for sure. And I do think that it was great to see him kind of be thrust into the limelight this year, because obviously in his time in Kansas City, even though he's been great and I think all the players have loved him the whole time, He's been underappreciated, and that's in part because the offense has always kind of taken the center stage of everything. And then this year, when the Chiefs needed the defense, time and time again, the defense delivered. And by the end of it, you did kind of get the sense that everyone in the around the league was like, "Well, yeah, we've known the whole time that Steve Spagnuolo is an all-time defensive coordinator." It's like, no, you weren't saying anything about this,
Yeah, shut up.
before this year. Like this is them kind of jumping on the Spags bandwagon that all of us Chiefs fans have been on for a while now. And he said in interviews after the Super Bowl, several of them, including one with I believe Peter Schrager, that he was asked, "Would you want to be a head coach again?" And I really liked his approach to that answer, where he said, "Look, I'm competitive, just like my guys are competitive. I want to prove that I can do everything that, I want to challenge myself." And yeah, I have an innate desire to want to achieve the highest thing I can achieve in my profession, which is to be a successful head coach for a
Right.
coach in the NFL. But he said, I've been around the block. I'm content, with my career as it's been. Like, I'm proud of the work that I've done." And, so basically, like, yeah, I think I would like to be a coach, because I think that anyone who's in this business that's competitive, that's holding themselves accountable and stuff, they should want to be a head coach. Like, that's a lofty goal. But at the same time, he's not sitting there knocking everybody's door down saying, I gotta go coach somewhere. So it's kind of the best of both worlds for the Chiefs, because you have a guy that's driven and motivated and successful as a defensive coordinator, but that yet is obviously happy and into being Andy Reid's defensive coordinator. And for a guy like Reid, that does all the offensive stuff, he really needs a defensive head coach to be
Yeah,
the best
right.
version of an Andy Reid team that you can have. And that's what Spags is. He is absolutely the king on the defensive side of the ball. He runs the show there, and Andy knows it. And I think that's why they work so well together, is because they really do. Andy's got 51% of the decision making and stuff, but I mean, at the end of the day, Spags is running half a team and has been for a while, and he's been really good at it.
In other news, the Chiefs were reportedly interested in Mike Evans, wide receiver for the Buccaneers, before he returned to Tampa Bay on a 2-year, $52 million deal. He, of course, had told his agent had put it out there that he wanted to win. He wanted to go to a contender. And he, like everyone else, took the money and went back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Was it surprising to you at all that the Chiefs were like listed as a team interested in his services, and how much does it disappoint you that we're not going to be able to draft your guy, Mike Evans, in our free agency draft?
Yeah, I mean, I really like him a lot. He's on my big dynasty roster that I play with you, but also he's the type of player that I like a lot. Stretches the field, can jump, is tough, is dependable, 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons. Like, I mean,
Crazy.
he's a machine. He is. And yeah, he's on the twilight end of his career, but I still think that he's got gas left in the tank. And I'm not surprised to hear the Chiefs linked with him, because at the end of the day, we've gotten smoke on a ton of stuff that has never panned out for the Chiefs being linked with big time wide receivers, like more smoke than I'm comfortable with. Pretty much every time a wide receiver is mentioned as being available, someone mentions something about, oh, they'd love to go with the Chiefs, or the Chiefs would love to have them, or whatever. And it just hasn't worked out in a long time. And yeah, love Evans. I do think that at least the Bucks were a playoff team last year. It's
They
not
were
quite
in
DeAndre
weak
Hopkins
division,
going to the
so
Titans, which was obviously going to fail from the jump. I
yeah,
mean,
right.
that was not like this. I do think that, like you said, weak division for the Bucks. If they can get Baker, back there and kind of run that thing back a little bit, like, they could certainly win the South, and he could find himself in the playoffs again. He has a Super Bowl, so
Yeah.
the ring chasing doesn't probably mean as much, even though he said he prioritizes it. You've got one. You can at least look back on your career and say, you got it done one time. So,
He had the third best season of his career, yardage wise, and second most touchdowns. So,
he was
I
awesome.
mean, you could actually make the argument overall that this was his best season as a pro, as a 30-year-old, and 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons. Just a little bit interesting to see the Chiefs put into that camp of people interested in a 30-year-old wide receiver. Not Brett Veach as usual, but nice. Let's talk about
What is happening?
Okay, so we've got to get caught up on some of the goings on around the league. Not everything. I mean, we've got to spread this out. This the off season is a slow burn, but we have to talk about, and by talk about, I mean mock and shame, some of the other teams in the NFL that aren't the two-time repeat defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
It's
And let's start with
fun.
everybody's favorite whipping boy, the Denver Broncos. So we've known for a while that the Broncos were going to cut Russell Wilson. We, as in you and I, knew that they were going to cut Russell Wilson the moment they traded for him and signed that contract.
Yeah.
We knew that this failure was inevitable, but it's been a slow burn. And they have been telling us, I mean, even as recently as their 5-game winning streak, which somehow happened last season, that Russ is the guy. And Russ is the guy that could take them back to the playoffs. And certainly Russell Wilson with Sean Payton, he's good enough to win a Super Bowl. Nah, he's out. He's
Nah.
gone. And with him, an all-time NFL record dead cap hit, which they're going to be spreading out over at least a couple of seasons. They're going to be $80 million dollars in dead cap money over the next couple of years. And as a fallout of that, today they had cut former All-Pro safety Justin Simmons. He is 30 and he is certainly a declining player, but he's a good player. I just Googled because I see this a lot from the handful of Broncos accounts that I can stomach following on Twitter slash X. I just typed in today, this morning, when I saw the news, Justin Simmons is the best safety in the NFL. There were Broncos fans telling me as recently as 6 months ago that Justin Simmons is the best safety in the NFL.
Sure.
The best safety in the NFL is no longer on your team, and he's now a free agent because of the. If it weren't for Deshaun Watson, like, and we still don't, that book hasn't completely been written yet. I mean, there's still the slimmest of chances for Deshaun Watson to redeem himself on the field. He can, of course, never redeem himself off the field. And that certainly factors into how incredibly terrible that trade is, as well as the contract, which is even worse somehow than Russell Wilson's contract. But this is a top five worst trade of all time. Like, you have to cut Justin Simmons now. They're still not cap compliant. Their cap is in a terrible spot right now. You know, we heard Walmart was going to make everything better. Walmart is going to take care of everything. Walmart didn't keep Justin Simmons. You know,
No.
Walmart wasn't able to restructure him and keep him on the team. There's a quality player that's leaving your team because you signed Russell Wilson to an insane contract and gave up two first round picks and two second round picks. And, you know, you didn't get anything in return for that. What a disaster the Broncos are. And couldn't happen to a better team.
Yeah, it is really fun when your most hated team in sports happens to also be the one that's possibly in the worst position in sports. Like that's a really, really just a good place to be in mentally for us. And you know, not only did they trade a shitload of stuff for us, not only did they then sign him to a shitload of money, they also traded a first round pick to get Sean Payton to fix him, basically.
Sure,
Now they say
right.
that, you know, that he's still there to accomplish other tasks, but let's not confuse it. They would not have traded for Sean Payton if they had traded for Russ and he had been a success. You know why? Because they'd still have Nat Hackett as their head coach. If that had worked, they wouldn't have needed Sean Payton. The fact that they thought they needed him was because Russ was such a disaster. And you know,
It's a great point.
it's just they're in such trouble. And not only are they in such trouble themselves, but then you combine it with the fact that their direct path to the playoffs has to go through the modern dynasty. Like they're not, you know, all the teams in the AFC West are in trouble by just virtue of being in the same division as the Chiefs. All of them are in trouble. But the Broncos have no quarterback, no money, and an all-time team standing between them and the playoffs. It's a nightmare. And I can't imagine, you know, I go on, you've got your Broncos radio that you can get your fix for Broncos tears. I don't have that, or at least I don't, I would go online and listen to it or whatever. So I go to their SB Nation account, Mile High Report, which is a lot of fun. It's been very fun for about 5 years now. And I mean, they all talk about, you know, like, well, we're going to hibernate for a couple of years. I'll come out of hibernation when the Broncos are 500 again, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they're dead. They're all dead. They hate it. And it just, as you said, couldn't happen to a better group. Just a complete failure in every regard by them in everything they've done intellectually since the retirement of Peyton Manning. I mean, they've swung and missed and swung and missed and had coaches and quarterbacks. And every time we kept hearing, well, a lot of times we heard they were a quarterback away and they just never got their quarterback. Turns out they were much, much, much more than a quarterback away. And you know, they'll be in purgatory for a while. It's great.
I mean,
great.
Taylor, this is like swinging and missing and hitting yourself in the dick repeatedly.
Yeah, yes. It's basically for like 7 years.
It's basically what the Broncos have been doing. Let's throw in a quick little bonus here. This is not in the show document and unplanned, but I just saw a tweet come across my desk here. Cecil Lammy, who is plugged in with the Broncos here in Denver, tweets, "I'm told Russell Wilson is open to signing with the Raiders, and he's being advised to do so by those close to him." Now, what could be funnier than Russell Wilson being terrible for the Broncos, costing them $80 million in dead cap money, and then signing for a team to a new team for the league minimum and making the Broncos pay him $40 million a year for the next 2 years while he plays for somebody else? If he signs for the Raiders and he's terrible, except for the two times a year he plays against the Broncos.
That's the perfect scenario.
That is, yeah. I mean, you literally could not conceive a better scenario than Russell Wilson going to the Raiders, beating the Broncos twice a year for a couple more years while they're paying him, and otherwise being a total disaster, which is what he is at this point in his career.
You know, that reminds me so much of the hilarity that was John Elway presenting the Lombardi Trophy in,
oh my God,
in the Raiders stadium to the Chiefs. Yeah. Like the way that this has been constructed for the Chiefs is like, we couldn't have scripted it any better. And I mean, I know people say they're script writers, but like this, you couldn't have written the way that this has gone down. And if Russ does sign with the Raiders, first of all, you and I and everybody under the sun knows that that's not going to work. It's not just because the Raiders are going to sign Russell Wilson. It's not going to work for either party, but it might work twice a year against the Broncos, which, I mean, I couldn't imagine a better ending to this whole saga than that. It would be just, it would be poetry.
It would be unbelievable. Speaking of Chiefs, I didn't want to say former rivals. I don't really know how to characterize it, but
sure.
Let's just speak about the Buffalo Bills. Original GMF on Discord, watching the fire sale in Buffalo, is it safe to say the Madden curse claimed another victim?
Josh Allen and the Madden curse. Yeah, I mean, good question. Original GMF. They're in trouble, man. They cut everybody. We knew that they were going to be, they were in cap hell to end the year because they pushed all their chips in the middle and the Chiefs call. I mean, that's really what happened over the last 4 years, is the Buffalo Bills keep pushing all their chips in the middle and the Chiefs keep matching it and beating them. But I mean, it finally, the bill came due and I mean, they cut, you know, obviously Hyde was already going to be a free agent and then they cut Poyer. So they're two safeties that were the staple of that secondary for years are both cut gone.
Tre'Davious White.
Tre'Davious White's Morris. A big one. I mean, that's one that, you know, Trey White was always someone that they were saying, well, as soon as he gets healthy, we're going to screw you guys up. As soon as Tre'Davious White has a full season under his belt where he's, and I mean, it never happened. And he was the bit that the Bills got in the Mahomes trade when the Chiefs traded up to draft Mahomes. They got the first round pick that they used on Tre'Davious White. So they were always kind of in the camp of like, well, you guys got Mahomes, but we got Allen and Trey White. So like, right. Really, we win. But like, everyone obviously knew that wasn't true. And like you said, Mitch Morse, their starting center, who, you know, former Chief legend, Mitch Morse and Missouri Tiger. But that's a big loss on their offensive line. Naeem Hines, which was not a huge loss, but clearly anytime you've got to cut somebody. I
mean, yeah, and they gave up a third round pick for him, I think.
Yeah,
so
they traded for him midseason thinking that was their piece to get him over the top was Naeem Hines. And, you know, I mean, you started this off by saying I don't really want to say former Chiefs rival because, like, the Bills are so weird. They both represented this idea of what a team that could beat the Chiefs might look like. You know, because for a lot of times when they would beat up on other teams or hell beat up on the Chiefs in the regular season, you could kind of squint and be like, man, this team, if they really get it all together and they forget the fact that they're the Buffalo Bills, they could really be a problem. And then they kept remembering that they were the Buffalo Bills and not being a problem. And now they're I don't want to say they're not going to contend or they're not going to be competitive because you do have a top two or three quarterback in the NFL in Josh Allen. He's very, very, very good. Despite all of his flaws and issues, he's very good.
Amazing.
But
he is really
boy,
good.
Are they in trouble right now financially. And the Von Miller thing is
I mean, another, they're still not cap compliant.
They're
I
still mean, not cap compliant. They restructured Von Miller.
Yeah, they had to kick the can down the road just to get closer to getting under the cap.
And the Von trade or the Von deal was a huge, massive swing and miss by them also, which was funny. A Bronco going to the Bills and not working out for either. I mean, it's just very, very funny there. And, you know, his new deal, he's going to get paid more money this year if he hits all these incentives, which he's not going to hit. But, like, if he does hit all these incentives, it's a worse deal for them. They're going to pay him $20 million. Like, it's just if he hits those, it's a bad deal for them either way. They're kicking the can down the road with him more after this restructure, which they should have just cut ties. They should have just cut him and eaten the, you know, $17 million this year or whatever. But
unlike
nope.
The Broncos, they're like, we're contenders. We can't suck for 2 years with $80 million in dead cap because we feel like
– we have Josh Allen.
They just – they haven't gotten over losing to us in the playoffs three times. Like, they keep telling themselves, you know, we're close. All we got to do is get by the Chiefs. And then every year they lose to us in the playoffs. And it's like, we're close, but they're not close.
No.
They're going the wrong direction.
No,
and
they are.
They really just need to take the hit. You know, they need to just take a deep breath, take a step back, take the L. You know, eat the contract later, eat the contract now. Just put it in your mouth, eat the Von Miller contract, and in a couple of years, maybe you can take another run at the champs. But right now, it is not working out. Speaking of teams taking a run at the champs, this is hilarious. So Steve Spagnuolo was briefly and unceremoniously a free agent after the Super Bowl. His contract was up after last season. And guess who tried to hire him away, but the team that has lost to him twice in the Super Bowl in the last 5 years, the San Francisco 49ers made a run at hiring Steve Spagnuolo and then instead hired Nick Sorensen, their defensive back coach, because, you know, Sorensen, who played DB or coach DB, definitely no defense. And there's no way that can possibly backfire. And Brandon Staley coming in as assistant head coach. It's completely unclear what his defensive responsibilities are going to be, but man, it's crazy to me. Again, like the levels of humiliation that every team in the NFL besides the Chiefs are subjecting themselves to in the course of losing to the Chiefs, trying to beat the Chiefs, trying to be as good as the Chiefs, trying to suck so bad they can eventually be good enough to beat the Chiefs. It's just fascinating to watch.
Well, and you forgot dealing with the aftermath of not being able to beat the Chiefs. So, like, you know, a lot of these teams, they tried. They tried their damnedest, and it didn't work. And now they're looking around going, fuck. Like, we sure messed up. I mean, this one's hilarious for so many reasons. I mean, we'll start with Brandon Staley, who, you know, his background, obviously, was that he had hung out with Sean McVay for a little bit and you know, kind of – people thought that he was the defensive guru behind those Rams.
Hey,
and then,
you know, one good season with
Aaron Donald
and Jalen Ramsey.
I don't know if they had Jalen Ramsey when Staley was there.
They didn't have Vaughn. Okay. Yet, but yeah.
Okay. That's right. But either way, so then he comes to the Chargers. And what do we all remember about his time with the Chargers? I mean, not only the massive underdevelopment and underachieving that the team did in total, but his crazy decision making as a head coach that, you know, really had nothing to do with his defensive prowess. It was all just the fact that when he was running the team, he didn't really know when to push the right button and all that stuff. And that obviously came back to bite him the year that he got fired. I mean, he couldn't do anything right. But so if you're going to hire Brandon Staley, do you really want to hire him as an assistant head coach? Is that the role that you want him to play? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the Niners are doing. I think it's very funny that they ran after Spags. You know, the old saying, if you can't beat him, make him join you.
Yeah.
Try and hire him. But, you know, that didn't obviously work. They tried to – I get it. You have a big roadblock in front of you to win the Super Bowl. It's the Chiefs. How are you going to get rid of that roadblock? Well, part of the way you can get rid of it is try and take it down by hiring pieces of it off. And that makes some sense. But clearly that wasn't going to fly. So, they're hilarious. They're like the They're in a different situation than the Bills, but pretty similar. Like those two teams, the Chiefs have been responsible for just devastating those two teams multiple times over the last couple of years. And I mean, if the Chiefs run through the Bills or the Niners one more time in the playoffs, I can't imagine what it'll look like on the other side of that for those two teams. But I can't wait to find out.
Boy, it's going to be a whole lot of fun to see who else can humiliate themselves in the Chiefs' path to a third consecutive Super Bowl championship. Let's take a quick gander at the mailbag here. We do have mailbag questions that come in from our Discord, and we've been a little bit negligent in responding to those. So
Understatement, yeah.
we decided to pull one out. Jason from our Discord asked us to power rank the six Patrick Mahomes seasons. Now that is the
Kaka.
prompt that. That is the prompt that we're given. God, thank you, Jason, for the excellent mailbag question. And I mean, this was as much information as we got. We are assuming that we're including the entirety. It's obviously a Mahomes season, so we're looking at his performance, independent from the teams, but obviously postseason success will be important here. Let's maybe start from the bottom.
Sure,
Let's go with the
the
worst
worst
season
season.
because I feel
Yeah,
like this is the
I agree with you.
easy answer, and it's
I thought
2020.
it was too. 2021 was disappointing in a bunch of different reasons. Number one, they had that really poor offensive swoon where they were not able to figure out the two high, and that was kind of the first glimpse of the Chiefs being pretty mortal on offense in the entire Mahomes era. 18, 19, and 20, they really did a lot of whatever they wanted on offense, and they had some defensive struggles and some other stuff, but 21 was the first time, and that included that they had Tyreek Hill in this offense in 21, but it just something wasn't working, and they really struggled and banged their head against the wall, especially with that, like the run of games in a row where they were scoring under 20, where like of course they started 18, 19, and 20 with that gigantic ridiculous streak of 23 in a row or 26, I mean points or more. And then so yes, so 21 has the regular season suckage, and then also obviously Mahomes didn't win MVP, nothing really individual accolades happened, and then they lost to the Bengals, which yeah, the Brady losses were devastating in their own ways, but like the Burrow loss, like that one they should have won. I'm not sure you could say the Tampa Super Bowl or even the 2018 AFC Championship game that the Chiefs quote should have won. I know D Ford and everything, but the 2021 game, absolutely. They had that game several times, not only the big lead, but then late in the game they screwed up. So that's our answer at the bottom. The worst season in the Mahomes era is 21. What's the next worst?
I think it's got to be. See, now this gets tricky because there
It
have
does.
only been
They're pretty
two
good. All the seasons are pretty
seasons
good.
out of six where he didn't either win the NFL MVP or the Super Bowl or both. So I think I have to take the only other season where he didn't win the Super Bowl or win an MVP award, and that's 2020. So the Chiefs went, he went 14 and one that year,
Yeah,
which
he
is
did.
crazy. This is the second worst season in his career. That record was a little bit smoke and mirrors. Obviously, they had that stretch
Agreed.
down the second half of the season after they beat the Jets, where they didn't cover and didn't beat a team by more than 8 points the rest of the way until they got to the playoffs. And then obviously the first couple of playoff games, the game against Cleveland and then the game against Buffalo. I mean, they beat the hell out of Buffalo in the AFC Championship game that year. But then obviously the loss of Eric Fisher and then going into the Super Bowl and Britt Reid, and none of that has to do with Patrick Mahomes. But if we're looking at Patrick Mahomes's seasons, we have to take into account how those seasons ended. And I think the regular season performance down the stretch, I really feel like the back half of 2020 is when we started to see the struggles that we would see manifest in 2021 start to show. They still had Tyreek, they still had Travis, they still had Pat, and they still had Andy Reid. But like, I think we started to see, more of the two high. Not that that was a obstacle to them in the playoffs before they got to the Super Bowl and they had to play without an offensive line. But I think we started to see some chinks in the armor down the stretch in 2020, and then obviously, I don't want to relitigate the Super Bowl. I literally have not watched a single second of it
Yeah,
since
sure.
the night that it happened.
Why would you?
I have never watched it, and I will never watch it again. And I didn't even see the end of the game. We were watching it together. It
Yeah.
was during the
Yeah,
pandemic.
we rage quit.
It was just our pod. We rage quit in the third quarter, or maybe the early fourth quarter. I will never go back and watch it again. But you know, I'm tired of defending that performance. He was good, and obviously the highlight throws in that game were amazing, and it's great that they recognize, and by they I mean his opponents, you
Yeah,
know,
the
the mic'd
Bucks.
up, you know.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they recognized what a heroic performance that was. But I don't need to defend it as good. Like, there were some good plays in there,
Sure.
but like, if you took 2023 Patrick Mahomes and put him back in that situation, you know, against that defense with, you know, that offensive line, he has a better game. Like, it
Yeah,
just,
I agree. I
he
agree.
wasn't
He's more
leveled
mature
up
now.
enough at that point to understand how he was going to need to win that game. And he didn't get a lot of help either. But like, if you put, you know, current Patrick Mahomes back in that game, I think the results would be different. And so I don't know.
It's an interesting thought.
That has to be the second one from the bottom for me. So where are we going from here?
So now we have some pretty good seasons left, obviously. MVPs and Super
Yeah,
Bowls
not
galore.
yeah, yeah, not too bad.
I think between 18, 19, 22, and 23, this last season, despite the unbelievable end to the year by the team, I mean, Mahomes didn't win MVP. They struggled on offense. He was fine. He threw a career high in interceptions. He had some heroic plays, but there really wasn't anything this year in 23 that was like an iconic. I mean, there were, but like just because the nature of Mahomes, but not like
Sure.
something in his career that you look back and you're like, holy shit, how did he pull that off in 23? They were just a complete team, and the complete team performance is great, and it obviously wins rings. Reliably, and I will take a complete team performance moving forward. But he didn't have to play hero ball. When he did, he could. But 23 just kind of sits there as like, all right, it wasn't this like insane superhero like performance. It was just he's a vet. He's a vet by now, and did what he had to do. The team did what they had to do. I think that's the third from the bottom for me.
I can get on board with that. I think and it's tough too, because obviously he had to overcome a lot of adversity that really was not his fault.
Yeah, correct.
But at the same time, I don't know. It was a tough year. And you know, I think it was a little bit rough, obviously, before we came back and won the Super Bowl and made everything better forever and
Yeah,
forever and
totally.
always. But like,
Totally.
remember the Bills game? You
I
know,
do.
the
I
blow
do.
up that he had afterwards, and people were getting on him personally for that, and people have always gotten him on personally for all kinds of stupid things. But you know, that was a legitimate gripe. Not that I expect him. I
Yeah.
mean, like, I
He
thought,
showed a
great,
chink
you
in
know,
the armor, like.
he was saying what we were all thinking, which was that was a really
Yeah.
stupid call, and it
Yeah.
was statistically borne out that that was an egregious, outrageous thing to call in that situation, to take the probable game-winning touchdown off the board. But like, it wore on him, and I think if I'm sure if you asked him, you know, how meaningful this one was, it obviously is a hugely meaningful season and a
Yes.
hugely meaningful accomplishment, but it
Yes.
wasn't good a lot of the time,
No,
you
it
know.
was infuriating a lot of the times.
It was. No, I think that's a completely fair choice for third from last, so fourth out of six. So now we're really picking from the
Splitting
cream of the
hairs.
we're really picking from the cream of the crop here.
We
And
are. We are.
I think 2018 has to come next, because he didn't win a Super Bowl, but he did win an MVP, and he did throw for 5,000 yards, and he did throw for 50 touchdowns, and he did win the Chiefs' first home playoff game in like 30 years, and he did get to the first of six AFC Championship games in a row, but he did allow the Chiefs to host their first AFC Championship game. And I mean, you know,
Pretty special season.
pretty amazing season. Pretty amazing that that is third from the top,
Yeah, it
because
is. It
that
is.
would be the best season, certainly by a quarterback, for like easily. 20 teams in the league, probably,
I
right?
mean,
I
it's
mean,
probably like the, outside of Super Bowl winning seasons.
well, that's what I
It,
mean. So like
it,
you'd have to
oh, I see
take
what you're
into
saying. Yeah,
account, you'd have to
sure.
take into account that there might be a few teams out there that have less statistically prolific seasons, but
But
maybe
won
they
a
win
ring.
a Super Bowl at the end.
Sure.
You
Kurt,
know,
I mean,
maybe you could
Kurt
throw,
Warner or
sure, I was
someone.
gonna say you throw Kurt Warner in there, you throw a couple of Brady seasons in there, a couple of Mannings or a Manning season in there, you know.
Rodgers in 10 was very good, but you're right.
You could maybe throw Marino up there. He got to the Super Bowl and lost in 84, and he had 48, and that was the record for a long time. But still, I mean, like, this is a hugely
All-time
impressive
performance in
season,
2018.
an all-time great quarterback season, including the playoffs, and it's number three. So that's where we're
Yeah,
at.
it was a magical time also just from the fan perspective, thinking about what 2018 represented for the new normal in Chiefs Kingdom. And this kid came in and nobody really knew what to expect. And I mean, these were his first, other than the 2017 finale, his first year starting in the
I
NFL, and he
know.
throws 50 touchdowns. And some of that is kind of the like taking the NFL by surprise aspect. Like, people just didn't really give Mahomes a lot of respect early on, and he made him pay for it a lot, and had that kind of young energy where he didn't really know what he didn't know, and he didn't really know what not to do and all that stuff. Because, and I mean, it worked for a really long time for him. But obviously, if we're ranking the seasons, you gotta have some Super Bowl wins above that one. So I think third slots right in great there. And so then we're going to second. And so we're choosing between 19 and 22.
I mean,
19 was the first Super Bowl win, the 54 Super Bowl 54 win, but he got hurt that year and missed two games. And you and I were in the game in Denver where he got hurt, and that obviously is going to stick with me like PTSD for a long time. That was
sure.
a rough experience. But he was brilliant when he played that year. I mean, it was very, very effective and efficient, and really just kind of showed that next level of Mahomes after 2018, which wasn't 50 touchdowns, it was only 26, but like he did what he had to do. He kind of started to accomplish all that stuff. I'm going with 2019 as the second, best or most impressive year, just because there were some struggles, but at the end of the day, hoisting the Lombardi, coming back down from 10, Wasp, all the insane. I mean, hell, the Houston comeback. So
Sure,
when I
right.
said that the Denver game's going to stick with me with PTSD, that Houston game is maybe my favorite sports experience in person of all time. And in fact, I don't think I can think of one that would top that, including the Bengals AFC title win in.
I was going to say the Bengals game,
I
which
mean,
we'll
I think
talk
the
about,
Houston
but
game, I think the Houston game was better just from like a pandemonium perspective, just from like this roller coaster of down to as up as you can possibly be. I mean, it's going to stick with me just as far as like the raw emotions from that game. It was incredible. So I'm going 19 second.
I think that's completely fair. I'm in agreement with you there. I think the thing about 19 too is that even though the offense wasn't quite as prolific in the regular season, and obviously some of that had to do with Mahomes getting injured and then playing hurt, boy, the playoff offense, as you alluded to, was outrageous. 51 points against the Texans, 35 against the Titans, and then 31 in the Super Bowl. I mean, they averaged over 40 points for this playoff run. And that's wild. It's
It
like an
is.
all-time great offensive run in the playoffs. It started obviously being down 24 to nothing and then scoring whatever it was, seven straight touchdowns or something like that. And you know, that was the best of the 2018 offense coming out in the playoffs. And
At the best time.
the 2018 team obviously had good offensive performance in the playoffs against the Colts and the Patriots, but they certainly weren't scoring 50. You know, they weren't putting up a 50 burger on the board. The number of times a playoff team has scored 50 points in the history of the NFL, it can't be that high. I
No, I
mean,
think it's four or something. I mean,
yeah,
it's certainly very low.
it has not happened
But
very
and
much.
also that 18 team got shut out in the first half of the Patriots game. Yes, they clawed
Sure,
their way
right.
back
Yeah, of
and made it a
course.
game, but like they struggled, and Mahomes only had the one rushing touchdown against the Colts. That was kind of a
Right.
defensive and running type of game. So I mean, it was 19, they showed up when they needed to, but then obviously number one.
I mean, how could you not? Just in terms of Mahomes seasons, and we've been on record talking about how we would rank. We power rank this as the lowest ring of the three. Like, this is the least significant Super Bowl win of the three that we've had. It wasn't a back to back, and it wasn't the first
The
one.
first. Yeah.
But
It's a middle
I
child.
mean, as far as Mahomes seasons go, they traded Tyreek Hill, and he won the regular season MVP, and he
Yes, he
led the
did.
league in touchdowns,
Yes, he did.
and then he won the Super Bowl with a high ankle sprain, and he won the Super Bowl MVP. That's
And
pretty hard to
I
beat.
unbelievable. And the streak of from Kurt Warner in 99 to there of nobody winning the MVP
Sure,
in the Super
sure.
Bowl that he broke. And I mean, just slayed all the doubters. Everybody that said that this team couldn't, like you said, win without Tyreek and all the stuff that, you know, the Chiefs, if you think about where they were before 22, if where they were after 21, they
Yes,
had,
after the
you know,
Bengals game.
in 4 years, and this is crazy to think about, the Chiefs had one Super Bowl win in 4 years. So like, you know, that's a low level of success for
That
this
was a
team.
low ebb. It was a
That
low
was
ebb for
really, it
sure.
was dark times for the Chiefs to go
I mean,
after the
people were
2021
saying
season. They
in
were
the
cooked. They were
dynasty that
done.
wasn't, you
Yeah,
know,
that's
it's
right.
a failed
That's right.
dynasty because you only got one ring.
Yep. And then, of course, the 2022 season just put everything back on the table, legacy-wise and conversationally and all that stuff. So yeah, it was not as significant when you think about the emotions involved with the other two of the Super Bowl as the fans. Because, like you said, wasn't the back-to-back, wasn't the first, but his performance in 22 was the stuff that really turned him into, you know, he was a phenom and he was you know, borderline Hall of Famer after 21 already with the single ring, just based on how those 4 years had gone statistically for him. But then 22 is where the first time where you could seriously talk about him on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. It was his second ring.
Yeah,
The second
absolutely.
ring for him is massive narrative wise. And, you know, you win the MVP and that's his second MVP. And so we immediately had those conversations about only four team or four quarterbacks ever had won multiple MVPs and multiple Super Bowls. That's it. That's the only, you know, it was Manning, Montana, Brady, and Mahomes. And so he put himself on the Mount Rushmore after 22. I think you have to name that as number one. It's the best run you can have other than having an undefeated season, winning the MVP and winning the Super Bowl in the same year. It's as good as it gets.
Really good. You know what else is going to be good is NFL free agency legal tampering
Oh.
starts on Monday. And as is tradition, we are going to preview it draft style. So we have a list, each of us, of all the free agents out there that we are interested in bringing in as Kansas City Chiefs. And we're going to do this snake style. So you'll get the first pick, I'll get two picks, you'll get two picks, etc. We're each going to pick five guys and I'll give you the opportunity here to toot your own horn. You've picked some players in this draft before that have ended up as Chiefs.
Yeah, notably Joe Tooney. I forget what the history like is with this is exactly, but I know that one of the years I was really into the idea of bringing in a big time guard, and the Chiefs did it. So we do occasionally hit on this. It is hard,
They did it,
you know,
and it was hugely
and
successful. I mean,
it was a slam dunk. It was a slam dunk pick.
not only was it a great call by you that they did
Yeah,
it. I
and it
mean,
worked,
he's like been one of the
and
most
it
successful free
worked.
agent signings in team history.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, and this is partly fit, it's partly wish, it's partly, you know, just kind of some team
Cost,
need stuff. Yeah,
value,
exactly. Like we
all
just
those
are,
things. Yeah, yeah.
we're kind of shooting from the hip here, just saying like, wouldn't it be cool? Or I think maybe the Chiefs are going to go in this direction or something. And so I'm going to start us off with the first pick. I'm a sucker for offense, and despite other needs on the team and despite other, you know, potentially better fits for the team or maybe even more likely fits for the team, this team cannot enter next season without making a significant move at wide receiver. Whether that's draft, whether that's trade, or whether that's free agency, I cannot say. But what I can say is that they cannot go into the next season without trying to make a splash, not just your low level guys, but they gotta move the needle. And so, given the wide receivers that have come off the board from tags, and I mean, you know, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Mike Evans, those guys that are clearly guys that I would have been all over for the Chiefs going after. I'm gonna pick Calvin Ridley, number one,
Okay. All
and
right.
it's because I think that he's probably the consensus number one wide receiver talent wise available. At least I've seen him certainly number one on several lists, and he is the type of talent that, you know, he was amazing in Atlanta before all of his kind of derailment with personal stuff and the gambling and all that. But he had a pretty good year for the Jags last year, and now he's a free agent again. And it just kind of feels like, number one, I would love to, for him to not go back to the Jags and not go back to another AFC team. And then, you know, the Chiefs have to make a big splash. And to me, if I'm picking number one here, it's got to be a big splash wide receiver, and he's the one. So, Calvin Ridley.
I like that pick. It's an interesting one because obviously he's had a really interesting career. He is an older
He
guy, but
has.
you know, when he was the number two to Julio Jones in Atlanta, and even after Julio sort of started to go downhill, he was immensely productive. And I agree with you that the Chiefs need a wide receiver. I'll just roll you right into my first picks here. I mean, I was thinking similarly. I actually didn't have Calvin Ridley on my list at all. But I'm actually going to go with a wide receiver for my number one pick as well. And I can't believe that I'm saying this. It is a, it's really a weak, it's always a weak free agency class, right? And I should say, I did not mention this in the preview. We're not taking Chiefs, current or former Chiefs.
Yes, that's why Chris
So
Jones was not picked
Chris
first.
Jones, Willie Gay,
Yes, correct.
we could have technically picked Chris Jones first, but we didn't want to put that energy out
It's
there.
kind of boring too.
And it's kind of boring too. We all know that Chris Jones is the best player in free agency. That's why we all want the Chiefs to sign Chris Jones, and we want the Katz brothers to, I was gonna say die in a fire, but that's
A little rough, but
there may be a little bit litigious.
there you go.
I don't really want to go down that route.
Yeah,
But
they suck
anyway,
though. We
we
don't
just
like them.
want them to,
Go
you
away.
know, something to hospitalize them before Monday so that Chris can maybe just do his own thing and do what he wants to do. I'm going to take Marquise Brown with my first pick.
I thought you might.
And I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't thrill me,
Sure,
but
didn't me either.
there are some things about Hollywood Brown that I enjoy. So, he is related to hereditarily and also in terms of his play to Antonio Brown. He fortunately is not related to Antonio Brown in terms of his off-field behavior. At least certainly not at the level. Although to be clear, Antonio Brown wasn't quite at the same level when he was 27 years old either. 27 is it's still a hair older than Brett Veach likes to target in free agency. He really loves to get, you know, he got Justin Reed as a free agent at 25, which is really like the youngest age that you could reasonably hit free
Yeah,
agency.
it's like he's like Leo
And
DiCaprio. You know, you hit
yeah,
25 and
right.
he's just not
Yeah,
interested.
sure, exactly. And this is going to be an interesting class for him because obviously the Chiefs are going hard after Chris Jones. Chris Jones is 30. You had Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's 29. He's going to be
Yeah,
30.
correct.
You
Yeah, I
you've
didn't, I
got
wasn't very thrilled about that, about his
sure.
age.
You've got some other guys on this list that are going to be up there in age that would make sense for the Chiefs. But is Brett Veach going to break the tradition? 27 is right kind of in that range where I could see it. Certainly if it's like a 2 or 3 year deal and it's maybe a little bit front loaded. Here's kind of your vital statistics on Marquise Brown, right? He ran a 4.27 at his pro day. He is an inch shorter than Tyreek Hill. He's a little bit lighter than Tyreek Hill. He's a little bit slower because he ran a 4.27 and Tyreek like unofficially ran like a 4.22. And he's worse at football. So he's basically like Tyreek, but worse in every way. But
Tyreek at
like,
home. We have
yeah,
Tyreek
Tyreek at home. He's
at home.
Tyreek at home. And he obviously is not Tyreek. Nobody's Tyreek. Nobody even approximates Tyreek. You know, Xavier Worthy's not Tyreek, even though he broke the combine speed record. You know, like nobody's Tyreek, but he kind of does a lot of things pretty well and kind of brings a similar skill set. And even that Antonio Brown skill set. I remember Brett Veach 4 or 5 years ago, before Antonio Brown really went off the deep end and could no longer be talked about favorably in NFL circles in any capacity. Brett Veach was like, these are the kind of wide receivers that we want. You know, the guys that are great route runners, but also understand how to freelance. And when our quarterback, who is Patrick Mahomes, who's the best scrambler and, you know, is the best in the league at keeping his eyes downfield when he's scrambling, he's always getting out of the pocket to throw. I don't know. They're both are named Brown. They're literally
They are.
related. They're both fast and shiftier, smaller wide receivers. So Marquise Brown is my first pick. I don't feel great about it, but I feel
Sure.
fine about it.
Sure. That's fair.
So I get another one,
Yeah.
and I sense that wide receiver is going to be high on your board. So I'm going to double dip
You
here,
son of a
and
bitch.
I'm going to go with Darnell Mooney.
Yeah. He was on my board.
I don't feel great about this one either. But
How could you?
this to me is a little bit similar to, not that they're the same type of player, but this is the same kind of signing as Juju Smith-Schuster in a lot of different ways. Let me explain.
Yeah.
Number one, Darnell Mooney did not come into the league at age 20 like Juju. Juju had played like 7 seasons when he hit free agency at age 27. It wasn't quite that many, but it was a lot.
Yeah, it was.
He literally was insanely young, and he had already gone to free agency the year before and re-signed with Pittsburgh. So Darnell Mooney is 26. Okay, so that is the same age that Juju was when he signed with the Chiefs. And similarly to Juju, again, not that they're the same player, but he had early success in the league, and he had a breakout season in his second year, 1,000-yard season in his second season, 1,055 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, this is a guy who, as a, I think a sixth round, a fifth round pick, had 631 receiving yards as a rookie, and he only started 9 games that year. He got under 100 targets and had 631 yards. So really productive his first 2 years. Now then, third and fourth seasons come around, and for Juju, this was like his third through sixth seasons. Had some trouble staying on the field. He missed 4 games in 2022. He missed a couple of games last year, or 5 games in 2022. Missed a couple of games last year. And he was on a bad team with a bad quarterback, which is exactly the situation that Juju Smith-Schuster found himself in Pittsburgh, in the twilight of Ben Roethlisberger's career, when he couldn't throw the ball downfield and their offense was a disaster. And I just think that there's a lot of meat on the bone here, potentially, for the Chiefs. He's not too old for Brett Veach to DiCaprio him. He's also,
DiCaprio.
and he's got, like the difference between him and Juju is, I mean, he's really more of an outside X down the field win with speed receiver, which is not what
Sure.
Juju was. Juju was,
Nope. Big
a
slot.
big slot who was going to win over the middle of the field. But the Chiefs need a guy who can win on the outside and can win downfield. Their big slot in the offense now is Rashee Rice. So Rashee Rice is going to play the Juju role, but I think there's a lot of similarities between what the Chiefs saw in terms of age and health and underperformance in Darnell Mooney that they also saw in Juju Smith-Schuster. So I think he's a likely target for Brett Veach and the Chiefs. That's going to be my third, or my second pick, third overall.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, and I do think that there's the Matt Nagy effect also with Darnell Mooney,
Sure, he had his
and
best season with Nagy.
yeah, and I mean, that can't be understated that when coaches are comfortable with players and they know not just how they work out that day or that, I mean, he's
Sure.
very, very familiar with what
He's been in
Darnell
the room with him.
Mooney can and cannot bring to the table. And so, I mean, that's important. And I do think that that fit, I've seen that bandied about a lot of places. Let's go. So I'm going to shift gears and I'm going to pick a guy that is very versatile, that a lot of people expected the New England Patriots to bring back this year that they did not, which is tackle guard, offensive player, offensive line player, Michael Owenwu, who has had a ton of starts in his career all over the line, and is a guy that so he 20 starts at right guard, 5 at left guard, 13 at right tackle, and actually Bill lined him up 3 times to start the game, first play of the game at tight end, even though he's obviously just a big tackle eligible tackle. Anyway, so
Just Bill being Bill.
just Bill doing Belichick stuff, but at the end of the day, he was a sixth round pick in 2020 and is a guy that has clearly played on the line a lot. And for a guy that asks a lot out of his offensive linemen, has a really high expectation out of them. And, they had to transition tag Kyle Duggar. And so they just couldn't tag them both. The Patriots got into a situation where They had to let one of them walk, and they chose their safety over Onwenu. But I really like him, and I mean, he's 6'3", 350. He's 26. He's a big kid, and the Chiefs need some line help, certainly. And to get a person that you can move around is always a fun chess piece for not only to cover for injuries, but they've got this whole Juwan Taylor situation in at right tackle.
Yeah.
And now that Donovan Smith is a free agent also, I would love to get Onwenu in at right tackle and be able to justify the 4-year, $80 million contract that Juwan Taylor signed by playing him at left tackle and seeing,
Sure.
the Chiefs talked about that when they brought him in. That
They
was
did.
the whole left tackle of the future thing. And I would like to think that that plan is still in place. And I would like to think that they liked enough of what they saw from Juwan Taylor last year that they would feel comfortable slotting him in at left tackle. And now you've got Wanya Morris, who can kind of move around the offensive line. You would have a Onwenu. So that's my pick. For a free agent offensive signing there, a
Going back
line
to the
signing.
Patriots guard well, I like that.
That's what I was going to say.
That's worked out well for you in the
It
past.
has. If I'm going to hit on a pick, it's probably going to be another Patriots offensive line. So then
Yeah, now you have
for
fifth.
yes. So now that I have fifth, couple guys I would really like, but I think I'm going to go in a class that has a lot of available talent at this position. And that's the safety position, the one that I just mentioned that Kyle Duggar, the Patriots transition tagged him. He joins a long, illustrious list of safeties right now, not only Simmons and Hyde and Poyer and those guys, but I do think those guys are probably a little too rich for my blood right now, just based on what the other Chiefs' needs are and where their money's at. And so I think based on price and fit, I'm gonna go with Geno Stone, who was
Okay.
a Raven last year
Sure.
and was all over the field, got picks. I believe he was second in the NFL in picks. I'm not looking at it now, but if he wasn't second, he was certainly top three. And is a ball hawk, and he can hit, he can thump. He's a guy that you certainly wouldn't mind in kind of that third safety role. They clearly have Justin Reed and Brian Cook, and obviously they like both those guys a lot, but you really do need three safeties that you can trust these days in the NFL. And he's 24, performed really well for Baltimore, and I'm really surprised that they let him get out of there without a deal already, without extending him, but he's a free agent. So give me Geno Stone with the fifth pick.
I like where you're going there, and I love the idea of, I mean, there are teams that that just get it at certain positions
Yes,
and
good point.
areas on the field. And I think the Ravens and defensive backs, I mean, it's
Yeah.
kind of like Washington and cornerbacks, right? When you're drafting, it just is
Yes.
like that's
Yeah.
a team that understands how to coach DBs, and they've
CBU.
had a great secondary for as long as Harbaugh's been the coach there. 25 years old, like you said. I mean, the Chiefs are a couple seasons removed from signing another 25-year-old safety, Justin Reed, and that's obviously it's been up and down, but it's worked out beautifully in the end. So I like that pick a lot for you. He wasn't on my
Yeah.
board, but
Confirmed that he was second in the NFL in picks with seven. Only
I
Deron
mean,
Bland had more with
sure.
eight. So I mean, he had a hell of a year last year for the Ravens.
These are my two picks since I have two. I don't need to take them in the order. I'm just going to dovetail your pick there with the safeties because obviously I think I would be floored. I don't know if either of us are going to get the prediction right on exactly who the player is going to
Okay.
be.
Yeah, probably not.
I would be floored if the Chiefs didn't sign a safety
Yeah, I
because
agree.
although they have two really good, strong quality starters in Justin Reed and obviously Brian Cook's going to be coming back from injury, and we haven't heard how that recovery is going. We saw a little bit of it in the franchise, him watching the playoff games, and they got Mike Edwards there as a rotational guy that they can kind of sub in, who's certainly adequate and came up with some big plays down the stretch, but they need another guy. You mentioned it. Spags loves his three safety looks, especially if they're going to have Snead back there. Snead and McDuffie plus the three safeties, you bring a third guy in, that's the best secondary in the NFL. I mean, not particularly close if they add a piece. And they could always draft a safety in the draft too. They've certainly have invested some decent draft capital in the safety position over the years. Cook was a third round pick. Before that, obviously they had oh gosh, Now I'm going to forget his name. He got hurt his rookie year against the Chargers. And
Thornhill. Juan Thornhill.
Juan Thornhill. We hardly knew you, Juan Thornhill. Anyway, all that to say that I could certainly see the Chiefs making a run in the draft at a safety position, but I would be surprised if they didn't get a safety out of this market because it's so saturated that I think they can make a play for a veteran safety. And I kind of teased this earlier, and I'm glad you didn't swoop me here. I'm really into the idea of taking an AFC West rival player and
Oh
redeeming
boy,
him in
I
the
was wondering
eyes
about
of God and everyone. And
that.
I kind of want to kick the tires on Justin Simmons. All
I
right.
mean,
So
he's really good.
listen. He was at one point the best safety in the NFL. He's no longer the best safety in the NFL, let's be honest. Even though Broncos fans are tweeting it 6 months ago, he is, I think, still probably a pretty good player. And
I
he is
agree.
30 years old, but this is a guy who was a perennial All-Pro, and we know how much Spags loves his three safeties. And you know what I would like and appreciate about having Justin Simmons out here, and I know this is maybe a concern for a player that's entering his age 30 season, but he's like a true center field type. And the Chiefs have not really had that player under Spags. Juan Thornhill sort of fulfilled that role a little bit in his rookie year before he had the injury, and that kind of sapped his range a little bit. Tyrann Mathieu is not a true center fielder. Tyrann
No, I
Mathieu
agree. He was
was
a
good in
thumper.
coverage, and he had some elite seasons in coverage when he was with the Chiefs, but he also had a bad season, you know, his last year with the Chiefs in coverage. Justin Reed's sort of been on and off, but he'll hit people. Same thing with Brian Cook. Justin Simmons, 30 interceptions since he came into the league. That's the most in the league since he entered the league. And he is not a thumper, but he is a great center fielder. And I think having a true center fielder to let Spags get dirty with Brian Cook and Justin Reed, and if he's back, Legarius Sneed, obviously Trent McDuffie, who was the blitzer last year, Leo Chenal, getting tricky with all those guys in the middle with Justin Simmons over the top as a center fielder. I think that would be intriguing. And
Sure.
here's where he gets redeemed. The guy has never made the playoffs one single time in
I wonder why.
his entire 8 year career as a Denver Bronco.
Oh, that's
He
why.
was drafted in 2016, the year after they won the Super Bowl. He has beaten the Chiefs once. It was last year. So, but for that, you know, goofy Thursday night or whatever it was, Saturday afternoon, whenever in the week it was,
I think it
and
was a Thursday game. I thought it's,
whenever it
I've already
was,
blocked it out.
and Mahomes had the flu, obviously, and the Chiefs played terribly and had five turnovers in that game. If Justin Simmons doesn't get the start in that game because he played like two snaps and then came out with an injury, he would have gone over 14 against the Chiefs in his Denver Broncos career. So taking a guy like that, I mean, you know, you saw Drew Tranquil 4 years as a Charger. You know, his reaction to coming over and winning a championship, I mean, it'd be pretty sweet if Justin Simmons,
I agree.
obviously, it's a foregone conclusion, would make the playoffs for the first time in his career as a Chief. But bringing him over and having him win a ring with the Chiefs for a three-peat, it'd be pretty spicy. I'm
Pretty
into
fun.
that.
Pretty fun.
I have two more picks left and one more before I cede it back to you. So
Yes.
I'm going to take a Brett Veach special here, and it's going to be Chase Young, the defensive end
Oh, sure.
for obviously the Commanders, and
Now
then he
San
was a
Fran.
49er. He played against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Now, the big knock on Chase Young, besides health, which obviously is a significant concern, was effort. Like he had a couple of big games when he came over to the Niners middle of the year, and then he just kind of disappeared. And he showed up in the first half of the Super Bowl. He was playing well then, showed that he still had some juice. I mean, this is a top two overall pick, and this is where I mentioned the Brett Veach special. This is the Brett Veach special. You got a 25-year-old edge who was a former top two pick, and he's still only 25 years old, and he's hitting free agency. I mean, that has reclamation project written all over it. Now, I am a little bit concerned that somebody is going to give him a bag just because he's a former number two overall pick and he's 25 years old, and those players historically make bank. I kind of don't think that that's going to happen with him because the aforementioned effort issues. I think that a lot of teams in the NFL are completely turned off by that, right? Like,
Yeah,
I think
I
there
agree.
is a mentality amongst many coaches and teams in the NFL that if Like the one thing that you can control when you're on the field all the time is your level of effort. And if you're not putting in a consistent level of effort, we don't want you on the team. I don't think that the Chiefs are one of those teams because I think the Chiefs correctly believe that they can take any player and, put him under Steve Spagnuolo and across the sideline from Patrick Mahomes or on the same sideline as Patrick
Yeah,
Mahomes
Andy Reid, Travis Kelce,
and
etc.
Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, Hall of Famers, a team chasing a third consecutive Super Bowl ring. I think the Chiefs feel like they can fix effort problems and they can fix want to. And so the chance to get a guy with Chase Young's ability and ceiling and pedigree at his age, I mean, give him, I don't want to say give him the Charles Omenihu contract because I'm not sure that I want to pay him quite that much money, but give him something like that. I mean, Charles Omenihu was coming off of, he obviously had not coming into the Chiefs, but had some injury woes in the past. And, the Chiefs knew that they weren't going to get him for the first 6 games of the season because he was on a
Sure.
suspension. Give
Yeah.
Chase Young a 2-year deal and give him an incentive laden deal and see if you can't just knock that one out of the park. And if you don't, that's fine, so be it. But I think that's a gamble worth taking. So he's my pick here.
Yeah, nobody would blame the Chiefs for trying on that one. And in fact, wherever Chase Young does land in free agency, I think that team's going to be pretty pleased with that attempt. Whether it'll work or not is one thing, but he seems
Sure.
like a pretty good player.
Yeah, you gotta try.
Yeah, you gotta try. So my next pick is going to be a guy who is 24 years old, 6'7", and 364 pounds, which is pretty beefy,
Yeah, those
and
are all enticing numbers. I like that.
they are. And of course, this is oft talked about but oft injured Mekhi Becton, the tackle for the
Oh, I
Jets,
love this.
who they picked him high. He never quite was able to put it all together for a year to the point where he was, doing the stuff that I think the Jets thought he could do. But certainly, with the Chiefs' just track record of success and everything involved there, I think that a change of scenery out of New York, how would that not help anybody? You can ask Mecole Hardman about that. And I think Becton is a guy that also represents this, just like if you hit it, it works exquisitely. Like that's,
Oh my God.
these are the types of swings that when you take in free agency, you want to be able to knock one out of the park. You don't want a safe pick. I mean, obviously you'll make safe picks, but you really want to take some swings with guys. And Mekhi Becton's a perfect example of a guy that if it works, you would look back and be like, how the hell did Kansas City get that
Yeah,
guy out of the Jets?
sure,
How the hell
right.
did they pull that off? And that's the type of signing I love. So, he's also a guy tackles a position of need for the Chiefs. And so if that worked out, you could slot him left or right probably and figure it out with Juwan and Wanya and all that stuff. But I mean, you got to get him in that room. You got to see if his giant frame is capable of moving up and down the field the way you need it to. And if he works out, and the other thing about this is if the Chiefs sign him, that means that obviously they would like him and he would pass a physical and all that stuff, which is really at the end of the day what I'm looking for a signing to be successful. Like if the Chiefs like him, like there's something to like there. They don't really swing and miss on guys a lot, at least athletic profiles like this. So Becton would go there. My
I love
final
that, by
pick.
the way, just
Yeah.
before you take
Yep.
your next pick,
Sure.
because
Yeah, of
that
course.
again, I mean, that's a big time Brett Veach special. I mean,
Big time, big time.
he's gonna be
Yes.
25 when the season starts, but a guy that's 24 that's about to hit free agency that was the 11th overall pick. Oh my God. I mean, this is like give me like Chase Young and Mekhi Becton.
Yes.
One of them's gonna work out.
One of
Like,
them's gonna work. Yeah, it has to work.
one of them's gonna be like an all pro. I mean,
Yes.
you
Yes,
sign
I
both of
agree.
those guys, throw some darts at the wall. One of those guys is going to be elite, and teams are going to be absolutely furious that he's elite for the Kansas City Chiefs. I love it. Who's your last pick?
Yep. So my last pick, we'll maybe talk about some honorable
Honorable mentions.
mentions here
Sure.
at the end of it. But we've got a really deep defensive back room. We've got a good linebacking defensive lineback, or sorry, free agent class, a deep linebacker free agent class. But the Chiefs don't need that right now. don't think that this is a guy that is going to be necessary, but I almost didn't even pick him. And in fact, I'm going to switch gears and I'm not going to pick him because I think they're going to sign Chris Jones. So I am going to go with Danielle Hunter from
Okay.
Minnesota
All right.
fame, edge rusher, guy that's been around the block. This is more of the like vet signing that the Chiefs have done over the years to really get some juice into the pass rush. And Hunter's had some issues, kind of. I don't want to say mental health. I don't really know the details
Yeah,
behind kind
sure.
of some what happened with him, but he had some off-field struggles that kind of led to the derailment of his time in Minnesota that I don't think has anything to do with football, or at least very little to do with football. And that's the type of project that I like, because that means the cost is lower, and that means that if it works out, now you've got a player with the skill set of Danielle Hunter, which he is a monster off the
Yeah,
edge. And
absolutely.
that would be a guy that I don't think would cost a ton of money. And if they don't pick up, I mean, they've got to beef the edge group up a little bit in the offseason anyway. So if he signs, I'm going to be pretty optimistic about that working out for the Chiefs. So he's my last pick.
I like that. I do think there's a chance that he gets a bag. I mean,
I wondered about that. I'm
but it's
not
hard to
sure.
say. I mean, he's 29, but
Yeah.
he has produced. It's really hard to
He has. He
predict
really has.
with, I mean, it's hard to predict with all these guys, right? Like it's the same thing with Chase Young, right? Like Chase Young has the pedigree and he has, one season of elite production and, he's 25 and it only takes, even though it should take more than one team to drive up the price of a player in free agency, it really only takes one team.
It
If some
does.
team out there is like, we want to pay $25 million a year for Danielle Hunter, and it's Monday at 12:01 p.m. Eastern time, and he
Right.
calls, Danielle Hunter's agent and he says, we're going to pay you this much. And he says, all right, where do I sign?
Sign me up, buddy.
That's it. So for my final pick, and we'll obviously I'll give you the chance to give some honorable mentions, but I'll just run you through some names that are kind of on my list
That you
here.
were considering, sure.
I had Curtis Samuel on my list. That's,
Yeah, he doesn't do
we're
it for
kind
me.
of, I get it. We're getting down to the bottom of the list here, and these are, obviously we're factoring everything in here. It would be great if the Chiefs could go out and sign the five best free agents from the top of every free agent list,
No team
but
will.
they can't do that. It's a salary cap league, and the Chiefs have players of their own that they need to retain, and everybody else is trying to get those guys too. So,
My
when
Curtis
I
Samuel
get,
is DJ Chark, just so
oh, I
we're on
like
the same
that. Sure,
page.
I get that. Curtis Samuel for me, 28 years old, 600 plus yards each of the last 2 seasons, which doesn't sound like a lot, but
But he
he's
was
got
in
a little.
Washington.
He was in Washington. He was the second or third wide receiver there, at various points, dealing with terrible quarterback play. He's got a little bit of that do everything flair that you like in a guy. Like he's sort of like a Kadarius
I
Toney
agree.
if like
If he
Kadarius
was
Toney could
good.
actually play football. And like
Yeah, right.
obviously not as explosive as Kadarius Toney, but like I just mean in the sense that you
He's
can line him
explosive in
up
the
in the
sense that he plays
backfield.
football. So that's
Sure.
good.
Right. Exactly right. And he's had some injury concerns over the last couple of years too. But he's a versatile piece that if he's your wide receiver three and he doesn't break the bank, I think that would be a good situation to have
Sure.
if you're the Chiefs. I had a couple of running backs on here. I don't
I
want
wondered
the
about
Chiefs to
picking one.
invest heavily in running back, which is why I don't have any of the top of the market guys. Saquon, Derrick Henry, not interested in either of those players.
Jacobs, Pollard.
Jacobs, Pollard is on my list, and
Okay. I
he
think
gets an
he's.
honorable mention for me because it's really tough, right? Like Pollard of, 2022 Pollard, grade A prime beef
Yeah,
cake.
sure.
Okay. I mean,
Yeah, what
that
happened to that
guy,
dude?
I don't know. And that's the problem. He's
Yeah.
27 and he just didn't look explosive for the Cowboys last year. And 2 years ago, as a compliment to Zeke, like
Yeah.
that Tony Pollard, you
Yes.
stick him in the Chiefs offense with Isaiah Pacheco as like the
Sure.
bruiser
Sure.
between the tackles guy, and you have Tony Pollard to run, outside zone and get into space and catch the ball out of the backfield on third down. If he got even, 80%
Three
of that
quarters. Yeah, sure.
burst back, right? Like
Yep.
that would be a tremendous weapon in this offense. And the other guy that I had as an honorable mention, a running back, same kind of situation, is DeAndre Swift,
Of
who
course.
I
I'm a big
finally
fan of him.
kicked off of my dynasty team this past season. I traded
You
him in
did.
a package for Kyren Williams on the precipice of the playoffs, and then I got eliminated in the first round anyway because that's how fantasy football works, and it's painful and it's terrible. But like, DeAndre Swift has got tools. He has never quite put it together, but I think, he comes to Kansas City, he's again like a complimentary back to Isaiah Pacheco, who has some home run potential. I think that would
Yeah.
really be an intriguing addition to the offense. But the last guy that I have on the list, and I don't know if this is somebody that you were thinking about before you pivoted because you said the Chiefs are going to sign Chris Jones.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Fletcher Cox has still got it,
No,
buddy.
I was thinking Christian Wilkins, but Fletcher Cox does still have it. That's a good pick.
Fletcher Cox is 33 years old. I maybe this is because I'm feeling sentimental because we
Yeah.
didn't talk about this in the news. We probably should have.
Yeah,
Jason
could have.
Kelce calling it
Yeah.
quits after the after 13 years in the NFL,
Love
going
that
into
dude. How could you
retirement.
not?
Yeah, amazing. But Fletcher Cox, one of those old Eagles, one of those original Andy Reid Eagles who really like on a per snap basis is still a really good player. And like you mentioned it, you alluded to it, the Chiefs have had these guys in these championship runs, whether it's not
Yes.
that Mike Pinnell is the same caliber player as Fletcher Cox, but Terrell Suggs is. Terrell Suggs is a future Hall of Famer. Fletcher
Similar
Cox is
pedigree.
a future Hall of Famer and a similar age. Like I think a guy that could come in and play a rotational pass rush role for the Chiefs and at the inside spot, whether or not Chris Jones comes back. And obviously, we're really hoping that when we record this podcast next week, we'll be talking about Chris Jones being a Chief for life. Fletcher Cox coming back as a rotational interior pass rusher. I mean, like, number one, if Chris Jones is not here, at least you have somebody who can be a force on third downs. If you can keep him healthy, if he still has it, which he did last year, that would be great for the Chiefs. If Chris Jones does come back, like, imagine Fletcher Cox. Like, you don't even
Yeah.
need him in the regular season.
No.
Like, wheel him out on third downs, whatever. Just
Wheel him out.
load manage that guy until you get to the playoffs. I think Chris Jones and Fletcher Cox in the interior. You've got George Karlaftis, and I don't know. Maybe FAU comes around on the edge. Eventually, you're going to get Charles Omenihu back. I mean, that would be a nasty front four.
It
And
would.
pairing that with the secondary that the Chiefs are going to be bringing back next year, I mean, I think the defense, if they make a move or two, has potential to be even better than they were this year. Obviously, it's going to depend a lot on what happens on Monday or before Monday, hopefully, Brett. But who are some of your honorable mentions that you were looking at?
Yeah, so the Christian Wilkins deal, he's going to get a bag. So he would be kind of the pivot point if the Chiefs don't get something figured out with
He'd be
Jones,
like
because
Chris Jones Light. He'd be
yeah, I
like,
mean he's a very,
yeah,
very good player,
sure.
and he was a surprise addition to the free agent
He was.
market, and
But they
a
can't
guy
afford him
that
because they
right,
have the worst cap situation in the NFL.
because they're a team that, like many of the teams, came at the Kings and missed. So that's what
That's right.
happens.
Exactly.
I mentioned DJ Chark in the wide receivers when you said Curtis Samuel. I think that he would be an interesting and maybe kind of cool fit. And then along the same lines, I also really like Josh Reynolds. I think he's been
Oh,
pretty
yeah, that's good.
undervalued as a wide receiver. Had some great years with Goff in both LA and Detroit, given his pedigree and kind of, what.
And kind of a just a classic Chiefs wide receiver skill set. Plays
Absolutely.
every
Absolutely.
position, pretty
Yes.
versatile. Yeah,
Yep.
definitely could see him.
So I would be pretty fired up if the Chiefs do bring Josh Reynolds in. I think that's a good pick. And then I also kind of kept my eyes on Za'Darius Smith, another edge rusher that's kind of
Sure.
been around the block, like Danielle Hunter, just kind of that same mold of, he's had elite years where he's been talked about among
Sure. He
some of the
was great in Green
best.
Bay.
Yeah, exactly. And I really wanted them to bring in Za'Darius Smith last year, and I believe the year before also. So I'm gonna keep going to that well and see if maybe someday it'll happen. But no, so just to recap our list, I went Calvin Ridley, Michael Owenwu, Geno Stone, Mekhi Becton, and Danielle Hunter. You went Hollywood Brown, Darnell Mooney, Justin Simmons, Chase Young, and Fletcher Cox. I think there's a lot of fun potential there. A lot of guys that I think would make the Chiefs a much better football team. Those would be some good picks in there. So we'll see what they plan on doing.
I love this exercise because we don't just, pick the 10 best free agents and, say, gosh, I hope the Chiefs sign the 10 best free agents in the class. We've got some deeper cuts in here. I really
We do.
like, you know, the veteran signings, the Brett Veach specials, you know, the
Yeah.
veteran on his last legs who can contribute to a contending team, the absurdly young, talented, but underperforming free
Right.
agents, you know, these
Right.
middle tier wide receivers. We've got some Brett specials in here. It's
We
going to
know
be
the Chiefs.
fun as hell to see what the Chiefs do next week in free agency. We will see you next week. It's always sunny in Chiefs Kingdom.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.